Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world, and want to welcome our CTN WHBR audience on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness, if you missed our program yesterday, you got to get it on, go to VFNTV.com. You can always get it on your app, you know, in the air, on your cable, in your pocket, online. There's so many different ways to be able to see the program, hear the program. But it just gives us a perspective of where we're at. We need to know where we're at, you know. And so many people, it's like, I don't care where I'm at. I don't know what's going on. It's like Tuesday on 9/11, if we would have known where we were at, we would have left the Twin Towers. We would have left the Pentagon because we didn't know where we were at. And some people, many people, thousands died that day. And today we need to understand where we're at. This is what the Word of God says. He says that. This is what God's word says. My people, God's people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, which means we just didn't know. So you want to know, even when it hurts, and it's difficult to hear news that you don't want to, you know, just tell me good news. And it's like, that's what Jesus said. That's what the false prophets did. He said they always would tell good news. Ahab, King Ahab, he had an issue with hearing truth, and so he just wanted to hear words that made him feel good. And he would lock up truth tellers. He would locked up prophets who told him the truth. And when Elijah would come his way, he's like, oh, great. I mean, he had that attitude towards truth. And so he thought, if I don't listen to truth, it doesn't exist. It does. It did. And we're talking about him today because he has the viewpoint. And so Jesus said, just beware when all men speak
well of you.
Well of you. And all speak, it's all everything's perfect all the time. And the reality is, as long as we're humans, we're, you know, we need,
hello,
do not despise the Lord's discipline, he tells us, which means we need, we just kind of have, we have a tendency to wonder or make mistakes, and outside the grace of God, you know, I wouldn't be here. No, Pat maybe, but me, I may be really rough. And I think you walked on water getting here, didn't you, John?
clouds.
It was clouds. But it's just like, you know, I like the fact that this when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was going to go to a Christian college, actually, and I wanted to learn about Jesus. And when I put in my application, you know, the phone rings and the Christian college is going to talk to me, and they tell me, well, you haven't been saved long enough. And I'm like, my very first desire to get deeper in Jesus, to learn more about Jesus, I was told that I couldn't do it. And kind of strange, even though that particular Christian college is not in existence anymore.
No, it's not.
Right? Which means that's probably good. I don't have that in my... Anyway, so then... And so, but I remember going through, because you have all those struggles, you know, you always have those struggles, but you have this struggle when you're a brand new Christian, you're thinking, you know, somebody helped me from me. I mean, that was John's testimony. And I looked over in the classroom. I was going to a college at that point, a secular college, because the Christian college didn't accept me. So I look over at this particular guy that was a Christian, I guess. I didn't know at that time. And on his pen, he had this pen he was going wearing to school. At the college, and it said, Christians aren't perfect, they're forgiven. And that just so ministered to me, because, you know, you're at that, you know, and that ministers to me now, actually, but just knowing that, the fact that, you know, knowing that, that means Pat could be saved.
That's, I mean, right.
You know, it just opens up all kinds of possibilities. You know,
a big paradigm
with duct tape and tricycle in his hand, I mean, he can be, you know, totally saved. No, seriously, and it's like, that's right, don't, what happens is we enter into a religious spirit and we start thinking that our works are saving us. And God will take us right back to those moments in time that says, oh yeah, the only difference is I'm forgiven. That's the only difference. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, as a Christian, that we have, this is the right that we have as Christians, is first of all to deny ourselves. but to be able to confess our sin. So he says, you know, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. 1 John 1:9, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say that you're sinless. I remember I was in, was that you in my office years ago, and somebody came into the office and somebody had just gotten saved. I mean, they just got saved, just fresh in the Lord, and family members out of the middle of nowhere were very religious.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, and they were in this off
expression
viewpoint. And all of a sudden now they just wanted these people and they just came aggressively after them. And so I was, talking, I was just shocked. It's like, where did you come from? How did this, you know, these people just gave their life to the Lord. And what it was religion was immediately coming in to take these folks from the Lord.
To snuff it out.
And so he was talking to me and he was like, you know, talking from this sinless viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, I guess it's possible. Let me ask the question. I said, well, have you ever sinned? And he just got silent. And I'm thinking everything he just said, you know, because he was coming from a religious spirit viewpoint. And it's like, how can you be saying what you're saying? I'm like, don't we all sin and we all fall short? It's what's right in our heart. What's, you know, and this is what he says in 1 John 1:9. He says, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. And he just stopped. He just stared at me. But by the way, he did eventually destroy this this couple that just gave their life to the Lord. And by the way, Satan comes in immediately to destroy, just so you know that Jesus said that. So you got to brace yourself. Get close to other believers, people that are walking with the Lord, who understand that you can be taken. And as a matter of, we have a whole segment on taken that you can go back and listen or watch. And it's not just you can be taken. And so he says in 1 John 1:9, he says, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. So if somebody says, you know, or the enemy even tells you, you look at somebody and go, they're perfect. They're never failed. Well, you just believe Satan's viewpoint of that person, because if they didn't say that to you, then that's not what they're saying. That's what the enemy's telling you. And quite often people buy into that, because it gives them a permission in their own mind to say, you know what, they're not perfect, therefore I can sin. But then you're consciously making a choice to sin. But he says, if you say you're without sin, you know, you're a liar. But he says, but if you confess your sin, think about this. In other words, when we sin, you know, that prior to being a believer, when you sin, you're like, wow, that was great, I'm going to do it again. Right? Mm-hmm. Is there other ways I can do this? Is there a way to incorporate sin in everything I do? But when you're a believer and you sin, you feel bad about it. You just feel like, oh my goodness, you know, I've sinned against the Lord, like David said. And, you know, if you would just, you know, forgive me, cleanse me with hyssop, as he talked about, and restore me, then I'll teach other people your way. It's a whole different response. It's like a pig versus a sheep falling in the mud. They have different responses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pig goes, whoa, this is great, I think I'll live my life here. And a sheep goes, get me out of here, you know, get me out of here. And so he says, but if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all the mud, all the unrighteousness. So I want to encourage you today to remember that pen that encouraged me, that as a believer, we're always, the difference between us and them is him, the fact that Jesus has forgiven us. And so that means this, that we shouldn't be judging them in the context of where they're walking in to their viewpoint of some law. We should be telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ, that they can be saved and they can be forgiven too, and they can be part of the family of God. And that's how you know we have a tendency in our own, like the Church of Galatia did, to begin to walk in works. And, you know, what began because you believed, now you're trying to fulfill it in the flesh. And so I just want to encourage you today, if that's you, if you've been, you know, trapped, if you've been bogged down, if you're muddy, and you were once walking with the Lord and the enemy's told you that it's over, it's not over. You can actually say, you know what, Jesus, I've sinned, I've turned away from you, I've done these things, and I want to come back. And this is what Jesus said. He said, kill the fatted calf, because the one that was dead is now alive. He said, this is what he said. He said, let's have a party, let's celebrate. So think about that. A religious mindset would say, I'm just glad to be here, you know. Put him over there. He made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pay attention to him. You know, don't look his way. Don't give him any kind looks, you know, whatever religion would do. And but Jesus said, he's forgiven. Mm-hmm. He was dead. He's alive. Let's just have a party.
Right.
And so think about that whole mindset. It's like, wait a minute. Maybe you're missing a party. God wants to have a party for you. It begins with repentance and acknowledging that sin is sin. You know, as a matter of fact, I want you to just even pray it with me right now. I want you to pray it with me right now. I want you just to pray. Just repeat it after me. We're gonna bring you out of the pigsty. We're gonna bring you back home, and I'm gonna bring you into the party. Just say, "Dear Jesus," that's right. Repeat it after me. "Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I confess that I have sinned. I have fallen short. Forgive me. I turn back to you, and I commit to following your ways. I want you to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name." That's how simple it is. Welcome back. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and we can tell you a little of our stories, but also bring you into the family. Maybe there's a local church or a pastor that you can get up with and say, "You know what? I just came back. Where's my party?" And if they don't celebrate you coming back, find somebody who will. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The claim that our founders wanted a separation of church and state is untrue. There are over 1,000 proofs to prove our point, and today we're going to look at two of them from a Supreme Court justice. The First Amendment has been twisted in recent years to call for a separation of the church from the state. Our founders wrote it to simply prevent the establishment of a national denomination like the Church of England, not to forbid Christianity in government. Here's what the First Amendment actually says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The Maryland Supreme Court in 1799 declared, "By our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed on the same equal footing." That's what our founders wanted, to have all Christian denominations recognized, not just one. In case you didn't read the quote on the screen, we don't want you to get thrown off track by thinking you heard something strange. The one word is S-E-C-T-S, sect, meaning a religious denomination. If I knew of a better way to pronounce S-E-C-T-S, I would. But enough of that. Back to our lesson. Listen to the court again. "Religion is of general and public concern, and on its support depend, in great measure, the peace and good order of government, the safety and happiness of the people. By our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed upon the same equal footing and are equally entitled to protection in their religious liberty." That was the Maryland Supreme Court. Well, what about the U.S. Supreme Court? Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story wrote, "The real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less to advance Mohammedism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects, denominations, and to prevent any national ecclesiastical patronage of the national government." Justice Joseph Story lived 200 years ago, a little closer to the founding of our country than some of the supposed experts of today, so I value his opinion. And since we're looking at what he had to say about our founding, what did he believe was the key to politics? Here's what he said. "There is not a truth to be gathered from history more certain or more momentous than this, that civil liberty cannot long be separated from religious liberty without the destruction of both. Wherever religious liberty exists, it will, first or last, bring in and establish political liberty." Joseph Story, a constitutional expert from the early 1800s, providing some insight for us into the intent of our founders. "To exclude rivalry among Christian sects and the religious liberty is the only hope for political liberty." Perhaps today's politicians could take a note from Joseph Story. Now that's something to think about. God bless you.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life of the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
From time to time, you might feel like God is distant, hard to find. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Crystal Evans Hurst sharing how she reconnects with God.
There are times in life where you feel God's touch directly. There are other times when you feel God's touch through other people. And there are times when I couldn't feel God personally, but I could feel the hand of a friend or the hug of a mother figure in the church. And I think that's where connectivity, especially in the body of Christ, is so important. Because God shows up in lots of different ways. He shows up personally where, you know, you hear him. And there are other times when you know he's there because somebody hugs you real good. And you know that God sent you that person on that day.
You'll learn more about deepening your relationship with God from Crystal Evans Hurst today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I like to... Yeah, a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years? Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Yes.
Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go into a segment in just a moment by Lance Wallow. He was with Kim Clement, the prophetic man, Kim Clement, and he was speaking. And Lance is very good because he's a good teacher. He's with the Lord today, but yesterday he was with Saturday Night Live, actually. He was part of the cast years ago, and he got saved. And
really?
But he has a great ability. Wow. He's obviously very intellectual and has a great ability to explain things, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first I want to be able to talk to you about a brand new book, prophetic book, that just came out by Jonathan Cahn. Now, he's the one that wrote the book on Harbinger.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular book, this, and he's talking about patterns that happens and how in Harbinger, if you read that we're right in line. Everything that's happening is happening. But this particular book, and I believe it's talking about every 7 years, and that's what this particular word means. It's the mystery of Shemitah, something like that, S-H-E-M-I-T-A-H. And in it, what he says is that we're coming right into, in the month of September and October, this particular season that these things happen. And he lists them all. And we're going to be able to have, hopefully for you, and probably tomorrow's program or the future program to be able to have an interview with him, to be able to talk about it. But you got to get this book and read it. Take the time to read it. When you look at when he's not mentioning the four blood moons, but it's right in alignment. The biblical scripture is talking about, this patterns every 7 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, every 50 years, there's a jubilee.
Mm.
And you hear people talk about, that's right. Jubilee. That's right. Jubilee. Jubilee. And the thing is that, You either consciously say, and this is when everything rests, you consciously say, we're going to follow God, and we're going to have a conscious jubilee, a time to rest the soil. And if somebody owes you money or you owe them money, or by all the debts, you know, relieved and that type of thing, if you're in rebellion to God, jubilee still happens, but it happens by force.
Hmm.
And so you have the folks talking about like, Jubilee, you know, Jubilee. Hold on a minute. Make sure we're walking with God, because we don't want it by force. In other words, the money will go to nothing. The economy will go to nothing. The value will go to nothing and nobody will be able to pay anybody anything because it rests. And you got to get this book, and we'll have, hopefully this week you'll be able to have watch an interview with him, because it'll really encourage you. And but first of all, we want to talk about Lance Wallow. Lance Wallow,
Wallnow
is talking here about, you know, as the time's getting tragic and things are happening, and you hear us say and others say, this is going to be the best days the church has ever had. And the problem is the mixed gospels. The gospel, according to God's word, you know, that it's good, even though times get bad, that's when the church does its greatest work, because God protects those who are his. That's when miracles happen. And he says that I will build my kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his kingdom. So you, and the gates are the government, and we've been given authority by God. And you're going to watch him explain this, but understand that you're not supposed to run from trouble. You're supposed to be like David and run to the problem, because God's going to use you to be able to save a people, to be able to help someone. And the gates of heaven will veto the plans of the gates of hell. But if we don't even show up, if we think we're supposed to go hide somewhere, then the gates of hell will prevail during our generation. And so this is a great, he writes it on a whiteboard, but just watch it. He does a real good job of explaining this. Take a look.
How many of you appreciate the fact that in an atmosphere like this, whether you're watching at home or on your screen or you're here, that the prophetic incubator is a unique experience, that it's unlike other types of environments? There are preaching environments, there are teaching environments, there are evangelism environments. But what is unique about a prophetic incubator or a den like this is that when David met with those that came out to his cave of Adullam, what was on him got on them. That means that the prophetic has the unique capacity to get on other people. So when there were certain prophets prophesying in Israel, that spirit of prophecy came on the whole camp. But here's the interesting thing about the prophetic. It replicates and multiplies what you've got. David had only a remnant. He had a small group of people. But the anointing that was on David was enough to take down a giant. And so David's anointing got on the remnant that came out. And out of there, you see suddenly these mighty men. And it's an unusual footnote in Bible history. You don't have any other king or general who had the power of what's called force multiplying, which means the anointing that was on them got on other people that were in proximity to him. So in the last days, we realize that proximity actually is power. The closer you are to God's voice, the more it multiplies the power of God that's in you. The closer you are to the throne of God, the more it multiplies the power of the angelic on your behalf. So getting into that incubator, or getting into that zone where God's presence is the secret to a remnant overcoming odds that are greater in size and scope than they represent. What's curious about that is that there's only one description of the church in the last days that the apostles got. And they had a major meeting about this, because it was a controversy to the Jews having Gentiles suddenly coming into the kingdom. And when they got together, the Spirit of the Lord revealed that Gentiles were part of God's plan for Israel, that they were engrafted in, that the same anointing that was in Abraham, that was in Isaac, that was in Jacob, that was in David, that was in Joshua, would be multiplied on those who were in proximity to Yeshua or to Jesus. And here's the nature of the church. They're looking for, well, what's the typology for this? And you know the type that they came up with is called the Tabernacle of David. Now, why is that interesting? Because the Tabernacle of David, that was the structure that they saw as the type of end-time church, is literally the incubator or the den in which the people of God come into the presence of God in throne room worship, where they access God's voice prophetically. And God releases strategies from the throne room to the people so that they can go out and take territory from the enemy. When David was in the presence of God here in the tabernacle, He had bypassed all of the institutional resistance, the maze of religious structure that separated people from the exalted platform where the speaker speaks and their access to God in heaven. And what David did was he knocked down all the intermediary steps, set up the throne of God, the ark of God, the presence of God, surrounded it with prophetic musicians, and said, come to the throne right here, and when you're in proximity to this space, worship, prophetic access to God's presence, God's power and strategy comes right on you and takes a remnant and multiplies in that tabernacle of David an army that is strong enough to dispossess giant strongholds all around the earth. The type of church that is the end time church is the tabernacle of David. You read it. And this was, you know, it's interesting, is this was taught, oh, probably like 20 years ago. And there was a whole lot of excitement as worship was beginning to come to the forefront and prophetic was beginning to get restored to the church. Suddenly there was a buzz about the tabernacle. But most people move on from a revelation and don't retain it. They don't keep it. They go to the next thing and then the next thing. And then have you ever noticed that? Then suddenly you're getting reminded again about faith or about grace. Well, you walk away from this until these days, when God begins to put them all together and we have to practice all the things we've ever learned, because this is the hour when the tabernacle of David or the remnant of God is coming out and the house of God is being established in cities and in communities all over the earth. Now that means that there could be a building or a structure that actually is a house of God. Or it could mean that that the house of God is going to be a gathering in a tent. The interesting thing about a tent, or the interesting thing about that metaphor, is it's mobile. You can erect this structure anywhere two or more gather together and want to go into the presence of God. You can create the dynamic of the cave, or the dynamic of a gathering. Now here's what I really felt the Lord was putting on my heart for today, and I'm so happy that Kim is prophesying this. There's something about the house God wants to build that is in the church right now. You know, the word for church that Jesus used was the word ekklesia. Interesting word. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus, in his day, even speaking Aramaic to the crowd, he didn't reach into Hebrew or into church culture in the synagogue like a good Jewish rabbi. He went outside of Israel and reached into a Greek term that refers to something much different than a temple or a synagogue. He said, I will build my ekklesia. And the word ekklesia refers to the leaders that meet at the gate of a city in order to determine what goes on in the city. So in the Greek culture, when it was time for Sparta or for Athens or Corinth to make a decision regarding whether they, as a city, were going to engage in warfare, they would have the elders or these leaders meet at the gate, and at the gate of the city, they would have a discussion, because the gate was where commerce came, the gates were where the armies went out, and so the gates become a metaphor for the place where decision-making takes place that shapes a community. Jesus said, I will build my designated representative ambassadorship at the gates. Now here's the curious thing. Where are the gates? I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Where the church is supposed to be located is not a safe distance from hell. The church is supposed to be located as a governing body at the very gates of hell. So I will build my representative government right where hell is located. So now the church, the tabernacle of David, catch this crazy idea. The tabernacle of David, or the worshiping community of the remnant, are supposed to be targeting and aiming where hell has its gates located. I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. So when we worship, we are literally going up into an atmosphere where music and song is invading the conversation. And you saw it here. You could hear in the music, it's almost like going to a, you know, a 3D movie when I go to Kim's Meats. It's like I close my eyes, it's like a soundtrack to a motion picture, because we're there where the councils of hell are saying everything's working. Whoa, 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 what's that? What's that? There's that light. There's that rebellious remnant. It's that remnant. See, I'm hearing the Lord say there's a group that is resisting conformity to hell's plan for nations. And as we align ourselves, we become the government that vetoes the government of hell. So, if proximity is power, then we need to be believing God that He is going to raise up believers who are going to continue to ascend in all kinds of mischievous locations. In politics, in government, in media, in arts, in fashion, on college campuses, in among professorships. We should be believing God that if we don't have an ecclesia located where the gates of hell are located, He's going to promote several very quickly to show up there. But faith comes by hearing. If you never hear it, then these wild thoughts that come into your head, like that segment earlier where I was talking about how Kim would see Bill Murray's face, or we were talking in an earlier part of that broadcast, how he started getting visions, and he'd see, you know, almost like Garfield the cat, he'd see animated objects, and then he wouldn't tell people what he was seeing. He would just give the word of knowledge. And then we started asking him, how do you see this? How do you hear that? And he would say, well, God speaks in different ways. I sometimes get cartoons, or I get Bill Murray. And I'm thinking, well, that gives permission for all of us to be a little crazy. So I'll give you one more thought that I think is important. Proximity is power. The tabernacle of David means that on this broadcast, we can be gathering together a remnant of people, gather around moments like this, and literally create an ecclesia that enters into that force multiplying prophetic anointing, so that when we walk out, our spirits are tuned and we're walking out with an ability to be much larger than our actual size. Because that's what force multiplying does. Now, here's what I'm beginning to think the Lord wants to do. You see, here's the glasses. It's almost like God's got to give us a set of spiritual, three-dimensional lenses to see world events as they get traumatizing and find them stimulating. Now think about this. You've got only two ways you can respond to bad news. One is to hope it doesn't affect you. Right? You can escape it, be protected from it. But I just got done describing the church as a militant force that actually moves towards the battle. Going where the gates are located. Knowing that as we show up, God shows off and things change. So the other alternative has to be that there is a way of seeing the end times that actually empowers you to become an overcomer. While the news is worse, you're actually feeling better. Now, there's only one way that can happen. And that is if you have an accurate assessment of what God is doing in the midst of the shaking. So now, let's take this for a second and look at this. And it shall come to pass, clearly the Lord says, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. Notice the word heavens. Most people miss these little details. They reveal everything. The heavens means that there's more than one. So we have third heaven. The Apostle Paul goes to third heaven. And third heaven is one of the heavens. The difference between third heaven and the other heavens is that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This heaven don't shake. Because when God speaks, everything is aligned with His will, so nothing has to move. The furniture doesn't have to move. It all stays right there because it's where it's supposed to be. The shaking is designed to shake everything that is out of alignment with God's voice. So where are the other heavens? Well, if the Apostle Paul was caught up in the third heaven, it makes sense that there probably are two other heavens, at least a two and a one. So what we have here is we have this second heaven. Aha! Now, second heaven would be the place where spiritual wickedness is. Remember Paul said that he's in warfare, but there's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places? So evidently, second heaven is subject to shaking. Third heaven doesn't shake. Second heaven shakes. What's in second heaven? will put pitchforks here. All the powers behind the mischief in planet Earth are being shaken. Now watch this. There is an Earth atmosphere right around the Earth. And that's the first heavens the Bible talks about. It's this atmosphere here. What is happening during shaking? This is exciting. Blue color. Heaven is actually invading Earth. Most people miss this. Jesus said when the shaking starts, when it begins, what does he say? Look up. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven draws nigh. Meaning, heaven is coming to a theater near you. So when you look at the shaking, you have to realize that all the Putins and Rasputins and all the badness that is hooked up to hell is going to be shaken here. But look at this. Isaiah says something fascinating. Isaiah says, darkness may cover the earth. Gross darkness may cover the people. But upon you, my light shall shine. So there you go. That's how you can look at intensifying world events.
It is amazing how quickly Lance explains these times. And you've been hearing us talk about some intensity. It's the best of times and the worst of times. That explains it on a whiteboard description.
That's powerful.
What is it going to look like? That's what it's going to look like. We shouldn't run. It's time for us to run out like David and be what God's called us to be. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
He wanted it so bad, and all of a sudden his whole paradigm shifted. Everything he thought was right, he thought, man, this is like, whoa, this is just powerful. And in tune, all of a sudden, just like the last situation, people started getting filled and with a baptism that was under that particular ministry there. And some said, we don't want any part of this. And the final conclusion was, he got the foot of fellowship just like others who get the foot. I mean, it comes a time when you go after God, you have to understand there's people that don't want God. They want religion, but they don't want God. They don't want the promise. They don't care if God delivers the promise or not. But you can't do this without power. We're called to be witnesses. Witnesses of God. Witnesses need evidence. You got to have evidence as a witness. You can't just have words. What do you know? I got words too. I got a whole dictionary of words. But what about the power? Paul clearly asked the question, and we should do the same thing to anyone. Even if they're a believer, we should say, have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? First, realize they may have heard the word Holy Spirit. They may have read the word the Holy Spirit. They may have some sort of maybe even a twisted teaching about the Holy Spirit, or they may actually have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So most people are going to say, yeah, I pray, and you know, whatever it is, you know, they're going to mention the Holy Spirit. But the difference is, do you have the power?
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more, join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my, has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
Mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone. And we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it. And for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly that app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Lance Wallnew just nailed it in just a very short period of time. I encourage you to go back and watch that again and again to understand this is the day that we're called for. Is it not encouraging to watch that, John?
It is, because you realize that, you know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You don't have to be terrified. Listen, God is calling us right now as a church to go to the gates of hell and rescue those that are being slaughtered, that are going there.
Right.
And there's, you know, terrible times that are coming, but God's covering, God's hand is upon those that are with him. There's nothing to fear when you walk with God, because God has you.
Yeah, he's talking about, you know, the end time church is the one that's going to bring all these revelations together, and we can't leave them behind. We have to be able to know them. And one good example is the Good Samaritan. When you look at the Good Samaritan, when Jesus explains to us how we're supposed to be, that's somebody who went and confronted the gates of hell. You had somebody, the religious folks, you know, when they were coming by and they saw the man that was robbed and beat up on the side of the road, they said, you know, basically, what's going to happen to us if we help him?
Mm-hmm.
And if we have that mindset in regards to us needing to confront the gates of hell, we have a religious spirit. We don't understand why we're actually here. But the Good Samaritan, this is what Jesus is telling us to be, a Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan said, what will happen to him if I don't help him?
Mm.
And so we're understanding that God loves mankind, and so he wants us to go and speak to them. And one thing that we find out is that as intensity increases, the harvest increases. People come. It just shakes people loose from all these strongholds. When you see heaven coming down, as Lance was talking about, it's shaking Ephesians 6:12, you know, the powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness. And what is, when they're being shaken, those that are held captive by second heaven, they're also being shaken. But what happens quite often is they get shaken loose.
Hmm.
They get shaken loose and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what, how are they going to know unless you go? I mean, how are they going to know unless someone is sent? And how are they going to hear unless you tell them, is what he says in John chapter, I believe, 3. And so we have to go tell folks, you know, about, I believe it's Romans 8, verses 9, 10, 11, all. We have to actually go and tell folks. And you have to understand that greater is he, the kingdom of God that's in you, than he that's in the world. Now, what protects you is your belief in what I just said. Not, hey, that's what so-and-so said. Let me go out here like the sons of Sceva. Next thing you know, you're running you know, for your life because you were talking in the name of someone else's God that they believed in that you don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your faith, which is confidence and surety and certainty in God and eternity with Jesus Christ forever, that we're willing to go out and be confronting the gates of hell, the government of hell. And so we can say, in contradiction to what people say, you know, that America's no longer a Christian nation when our president said that. Well, that's, you know, we can either buy into that or we can say America was founded on Christian principles. God is the one that uplifts the nation or takes the nation down. We can turn back to the original intent of our nation and we can proclaim, because we are speaking of the government of God in the name of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and the kingdom was within us, and we can confront the gates of hell and we can thwart. This is, I love what he said. He said that the government of heaven will veto the government of hell. I mean, that's what we do. A veto is like, okay, everything passed, everything's going forward, people are buying into the narrative, it's going that way, and since we have the kingdom of heaven within us, we just take a stamp and go, poop, veto that. Yeah. I'm not going to accept that lie.
Yeah.
And God's just looking for someone that believes, right?
Yeah. I love what he says about the ecclesia, where the church is supposed to be right there at the gates, where all the decision is being made. It's a place where the leaders come and are doing it, if you will, not hidden some way, you know, off the beaten path or isolationist, but right there where life intersects and transacts. And that's where we need to be. We need to be in the front lines, interacting with people, sharing the gospel, no matter what it looks like in the earthly realm. Because, listen, this is where light belongs in darkness. We're not supposed to run from darkness.
Yeah, you think about it. It's like, how are you going to win the war if you don't get in the war?
Hello?
And how are you going to, in this place, I love the way he describes that the end time church will be like the tabernacle of Moses. It's not about a building, but it could be. But it's about a gathering where you're coming together and heaven's going to download into your spirit what you need to know, what you need to say at that particular time. And that's the end time church, but it's mobile. You know, we have to be careful. I mean, think about it today. I mean, think about today in contradiction to today versus what it was when walking with Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me. Today, in America, many people will say, well, I will support you, but I'm not going to follow you because I have a mortgage.
Right.
I have a home. I have a job. I mean, that's what America, we would act. That's right. Actually the American gospel. And so many people are building their kingdoms based off your revenue from your job. They're not going to tell you that that's wrong. But the whole thing is Jesus said, get thee up and go. You got to go. You got to follow him. The cost is everything. And so when he's calling us out to be able to move in this day, as you're seeing things crank up, you're seeing things shaking. I mean, look at how accurately that explains what's happening today. It's like every demon in hell is coming out and doing the most evil atrocity on. Then they're videoing it and they're sending it around. These are total demons grabbing a hold of these folks. And if you don't understand that, you know, Jesus talks about it when he talks about, maybe it's Matthew 8, I don't know what scripture, particular verses on top of my head, but he talks about that when a demon comes out of a man, he goes around looking for another place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds he can't find a place, so then he comes back to the man, and he finds the man still vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and he finds seven demons worse than himself, or seven spirits worse than himself, so he won't be thrown out again. So the man went from one demonic stronghold demon to eight. And so that's, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. This really helps out because when you see folks coming, doing these evil things, you can say, you know what? If they just know about Jesus, if I tell them about the Lord, if I go right to the gates of hell and say, let me tell you something, I'm going to pray tonight that God would give you a dream and he would reveal his son to you tonight, even though you're radical, even though you got a wrong, twisted perception of who Jesus is, I believe he'll visit you like he's done many, many, many others. And I'm going to pray that he visits you. And then God just confirms that word. Miracles and power happen on the edge of advancing the kingdom of God. They do not happen in this comfort zone. The power is met. Proximity equals power. If you want to see power, you got to go out into the battle. More when we get back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking over there.
Smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh,
right,
he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams, and it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
No.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely, definitely speak. You may be joining us today, and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, if you missed that Lance Wallnew talk explaining where we are today, I mean, it will nail the understanding of the words. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. The darker it gets, the brighter you're going to look. With the knowledge of God in your life, you're going to shine like that. He tells us, and that's what we're doing continually here on VFN TV and daily radio program. Thanks to our sponsors and our partners, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. So notice as it gets darker, and if you would follow us over the years, you would have watched that we were prophesying about these dark times coming, and they're getting darker. And guess what? VFN TV is getting brighter. It's making a lot of sense now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's going to increase. And that's what God wants, you know, for you as well. In the context of that, I do want to say, you know, we've been trying to figure out how to bring forward all the segments that we have done, are doing, and are going to do, and help you as American Christians. You know, as an American Christian, you're not a Chinese Christian, you're not an Afghan Christian, you're not a Mexican Christian, you're an American Christian. So, of course, the expectations are you need to live within the context of the law of America and the Constitution. You need to be loyal to God. And so we've got a lot of segments on that. And when you hear about civil rights, that everybody in America has civil rights. We have rights. That's the Bill of Rights. You could just say the Bill of Civil Rights. That says you have these rights, and one of them is the First Amendment, and which means you can just worship freely. You can gather without having to get a license to gather to be able to worship God. that you can have the freedom of the press, you know, the VFN TV and data radio program, that we can speak out, you know, what our perception of the truth is and what's going on. And so we have added to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, another menu to bring this up, and this is the name of it. It's entitled Civil Rights and Civil Christianity in America. Civil Rights and Civil Christianity in America. And one of the greatest examples of this is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, I personally believe he was an apostle, just bringing what God wanted this nation to the place that it was meant to be in the beginning and getting us back to the original tent. When he says, we're just holding you to what's written on the papers. Mm. What he's saying was, it says it in the Constitution that we're all created equal. Mm. And so because the Constitution was there and we were not living up to it, our people in history weren't living up to it, that Dr. King, as a Christian, he remained faithful to the Constitution. He remained faithful to God, and he was able to bring, by God's grace, a nation to the place that God meant it to be in the beginning. And so he's a great example. Dr. Avita King, you know, she has a brand new book called King Rules. And that's a great example of us, how we need to operate in as a Christian. And so the menu choice under the VFN Torch will bring up a lot of segments we've already done that we're going to be doing. So if you want to think, you know, how do I react as a Christian? This is what we're hoping that we're going to have even more for you. As a Christian American, not a Christian Chinese, not a Christian Mexican or Mexican Christian, but as a American Christian, because you have the Constitution. It's legal for you to stand up and profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's legal for you to pray. It's legal for you to be able to gather at your workplace and have a Bible study. It's legal for you to do all these different things, you know, but quite often the enemy's trying to come in and give a dark narrative and say, you can't do that anymore. They're just hoping you believe that. But Dr. King set a great example. He said an unjust law is not a law at all, because it is actually, the Constitution says that it's justice for all. Everybody's supposed to be treated justly and fairly. And at that time, it wasn't happening that way. And Dr. King showed us that we could stand up like that. This is very important, because we're going to have in the series part of the VFN Torch, we have what's called the, you know, children of the night versus children of the day, organizers of the night versus organizer of the day. Understand, there are those who are being organized by God to be able to be the light in these dark times. And one good example of that was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And one of the segments are, would he even let you walk with him? Because you had 10 rules. You had to actually agree to each of these rules to be able to walk with him. And if you read those rules, in other words, it said, you got to be a Christian. You got to know Jesus. You got to spend time with him. You got to abide with him. It was an amazing thing. And look what he did. So he gave us a demonstration of how we can imitate those who have gone before us. That's what Hebrews says. We can imitate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we can look back on his life and see. And so we've got a lot of segments there available for you right now to begin to study and soak on what it's like to be a Christian in America, how to operate within your rights, not violating the Constitution, not violating the words of God, and find out that God can turn this nation back to its original tent if we follow the faith of those who have gone before us. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com. You'll see the menu, VFN Torch. Go, it'll drop down menu, and it'll have right there, it's entitled Civil Rights and Civil Christianity in America. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.